There's no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast.
On the left.
Side stories.
From your glaze.
That's when the cannibalism started.
Side stories. Yes.
No.
I'm a real skater boy now.
I know. All right. I'm not even sure how to start this show because it's a brand new. It's a brand new creation.
It is.
Just like Henry Zebrowski is a brand new creation.
Every day.
We're all made in God's image, and apparently God now has green hair. Because Henry Zebrowski, you've decided to go full... I'm not going to say Jared Leto Joker because I don't want to be rude.
What was it? Broken? What did he have the tattoo that said like broken or mistaken? Oh yeah, damaged. Thank you, Travis.
Yeah, I think overlaid, overfucked, and oversexed. That would be the problem with that version of Joker.
If there's one person that is overfucked on this planet, it is Jared Leto. That is true. And it has destroyed him as an artist.
It has.
It is too easy for him.
It really is. So Henry Zebrowski coming at you now with green hair. You'll be able to watch that, of course, on the Adult Swim stream that we do once a week.
Honestly, was to be, unlike many people, yeah. I'm bored.
You're bored, sure.
Looking for a change, looking for a zhuzh. Natalie was getting her hair dyed pink, right, from Sonia. They were in that, our friend Sonia, in the backyard.
Sonia Century, check her out, yeah.
She's awesome. I'm going to be putting up her UFO video soon in the last podcast, just social, so you can see that. But they were getting their hair dyed, and I was sitting there thinking, like, I've always wanted to dye my hair green. I don't know if I'll ever act again. So there's a part of me sitting thinking, well, why don't I just change something? I could do it. It was always on my bucket list to dye my hair.
This was on the bucket list.
Because all the cool people always did it. And I always had like too much control of my impulses when I was younger.
Right.
Now I'm more free. So I just sat, I fucking microdosed some mushrooms. I got my hair dyed. And this is fucking inner experience, Henry Zebrowski.
Inner experience, Henry Zebrowski. Welcome to Side Stories, everyone. I am Ben with inner experience, Henry Zebrowski. The massive indictment that I do have here is that this is what you thought cool people did?
Yes.
You thought they dyed their hair green?
I didn't know. I didn't know that anybody could.
Okay.
I was just kind of a fat goober, so it always felt like not sexy.
You don't want to be, you want to be like big booger coming through town. Oh, hey, look at him. He's a big booger boy.
Hey, everybody. My hair's green because it reminds me of the lettuce or my favorite sandwich.
Yeah, did your mommy have sex with a Mucinex guy?
Stop it. I'm an individual. But no, now I'm just a skater boy and making things complicated for all the girls in the neighborhood.
I love it, man.
People see me out there. I have a skateboard in my possession. I don't use it.
Do you really?
No, but I have it for other reasons, for bits. I have it for bits. And, it's fun to just post. Up in front of you just go
by
in front
school.
Of the Jewish day school.
Sure,
you go by the 7-Eleven hanging out in front, just going like, yeah, you guys gonna sketch today?
Yeah, absolutely.
You guys gonna do some toe slides?
Yeah, and you don't feel like people think you're an undercover cop, do you?
Hey, so tell me, young people, do you have any mescaline? I'm just asking because I'm interested in experiencing mescaline.
I think this might be the year that I do mescaline, just to derail everything.
Honestly,
it's possible.
The microdosing of shrooms is fun. It gets it in there, makes things all giggly. There's just nothing to do outside of our homes. There's nowhere to go. So now it's about going onto the inside. I started doing a little bit more. I'm trying to get more into meditation, trying to find and traverse the Chapel Perilous.
Wow. I think you're saying the same sentences Jared Leto says to get laid.
I'm fucking damaged. You don't get me. That's why I have these teeth.
You look amazing.
I'm not as bald as I thought I was.
No, the green really does bring out the hair. You're blonde. It just turns out you have blonde hair.
But that's what my father said as a joke for years. He said, I'm not getting bald. I'm getting blonder. And I didn't realize that there might be some truth.
Indeed. The Bob Dylan, Henry Zebrowski story. Back in Blonde. What was the name of that stupid ass thing that he did?
Blonde on Blonde.
Blonde on Blonde, of course, referencing Bush Airs. Well, you never know what's going to happen here at the Last Podcast Network.
No.
And you never know what's going to happen in the world.
No.
There is one story this week. It did not get covered by anything that mattered because we don't cover real news here, but we will. There is now a 60-foot robot.
Mm-hmm.
They call him a Gundam.
It's not called a Gundam. It is a Gundam.
It's a Gundam. Okay, which sounds like something you find between your hole and your sack.
Mm-hmm.
A piece of Gundam. I mean, 60-foot robot in Japan took its first steps.
Now, and you now say Henry, this.
No, that's what happened.
It's not what happened.
I watched the same video that you watched.
Well, it shows how interesting about how porous the idea of objective truth is, isn't it?
Isn't that something?
Because you look at this Gundam take its first step. Clickbait title says 60-foot robot takes first step.
Takes first step.
I go and click on this. Yes.
So you're...
Yes.
Okay, first of all, number one, I saw that headline and I immediately... I called my gun guy, because now I have a gun guy, and I said, you need to bring over the ARs. You need to bring over any kind of grenade launchers. I'm not fighting the police.
It's not going to fight
I'm
you.
I'm fighting the robots.
It's not going to fight you. That's
yes,
why,
it is.
No, you have to join up with the sensitive teens that are trained by their lineage in order to fly these robots. Technically, you have to find those teens and befriend them. That's what
Evangelion.
I'm... Evangelion. That's Evangelion.
It's Evangelion.
That's what I'm doing. I'm trying to get on the side of all of the emotionally complicated yes. teen pilots that are going to be have to become one with these things. But
I have
no.
to say, with your green hair, I have never felt more like a father trying to yell at his son about robots and then just having a totally opposite reaction coming from my son. And then I say, how did you come out of my balls?
And say, I don't know, Dad. You must have been 3 years old because I'm 36 and I have a fucking mortgage. So this is the things. These are the things I choose.
Yeah.
This is how I focus. But it doesn't even take a step. They prop it up. Yes, very cool, right? The flaps open up. It got the dick flap go.
Yes.
That opens up. Cool. I saw that. I was like, hell yeah. And then I saw another thing. Had the arm go up. I was like, oh, dip. Here it comes. Okay. This is the future I wanted. And then it lifts up one knee like it's doing a cardiovascular test.
Okay. And you know what? That's the first step into overall human destruction. It's a 60-foot robot. Why do we need a 60-foot robot? It's also a human. It's in like human form.
Because
everyone who designed
there.
This, they designed it at the Gundam factory in Yokohama. I don't know why they did this. I don't know why they're doing this. We're in the middle of a pandemic, and now all of a sudden, what do we need? 60-foot walking robots.
Hey, man, guess what? It is definitely socially distanced.
Well,
you get
that
up
is
in
true.
There, you get up inside there, it's one person. That's very difficult in all the different stations.
But I'm saying it didn't take a step. It can't even stand on its own. It's just, it is held up.
Yeah, not so yet. Do you remember when Oprah first interviewed, like, the first, like, robot female that could talk, and there was just, like, a weird robot face, and they showed her a robot print?
Oprah, I don't care what anyone says. I think that your body is beautiful.
Well, it is, unless, of course, she's on the Lolita Express going to have sex with children, but we're not going to talk about that right now.
They technically debunked that she was on another plane. It was another plane where I guess it was just given, it was like off the wagon train where it was just given booze to people who had quit alcohol.
Okay, well, that's totally acceptable. Oprah, you're back in good graces. Give people a car and everything will be fine.
Unless Lori Vallow gets involved, because Lori Vallow believes that Oprah's the head of the zombie demons, like the head of the people slowly coring out people's souls. I listened to the first, like the deposition where they played a bunch of evidence, like the first kind of preliminary
Were
hearings.
Were you dyeing your hair while doing this? Because then you are Jared Leto from Joker.
No.
Or Jared Leto's Joker?
No, I would... The only way I'd be Jared Leto's Joker is if I was, like, talking about pumping in poison into an aqueduct in order to destroy a city, but also, like, getting my grill fixed and getting my fucking... get my dick shortened.
Yeah, well, you gotta be able to sneak into those tiny places. What's not tiny? Also, Lori Vallow's kid, apparently, it was a red suit, red outfit they found them in. We're hearing all these details that just make it more human and more real and also equally sad as we know that story to be. But what's not real is this 60-foot robot. They say it's going to weigh 25 tons, Henry.
Yeah.
So you're walking down the street. All of a sudden, you think it's annoying walking with me down the street with my big thunder clappers.
I like walking down you on the street because you scare all the ruffians for me.
I scare people. Now imagine a 60-foot robot. You're not going to have this thing on a leash. This isn't a dog's tail. This isn't going to be like your number one buddy going to fetch you a beer at midnight. This is a 60-foot, 25-ton robot that we are unleashing on the world in the middle of a global pandemic. Why is this happening? Why does everybody want the end times to be upon us?
I'm saying that this is the hopeful future that we will use these Gundams.
What do you use them for?
To fight against exterior threats.
Now, are those, so those exterior threats, what if that's us? Also, this is happening in Japan. So this isn't even an American product. So right now, your four Gundam manufacturers have just taken such a huge amount of power. They just filled them. They could send one of these over to the Middle East. Next thing you know, we got a 60-foot robot in charge of Iraq.
You don't find the Japanese to be more empathetic?
I think that the Japanese are wonderful people, but you look what happened with Shinrikyo. They can also be convinced to kill.
But they had a lot of ideas.
They had a lot of ideas involving putting humans in vats and forcing them to eat cabbage before they die.
I believe all science should be free. And I think that all things should be experiments upon and see what can happen, right? This idea of a 60-foot Gundam is more of the opportunity.
We're the Petri dish.
No, they're not going to come for us, but I think that... Wait, Gundam will be fun is that, yeah, it can be actively used against people. But when it comes down to it, we have to beat it with heart.
It's not a cartoon.
You got to think like a cartoon. If cartoons are becoming real, then we have to switch our visage to one of cartoons, use the lexicon of cartoons, and know that we have to beat it with heart. Technically, the most powerful member of the Planeteers was the stupid one with the monkey, the one that we all hated, the one with the least amount of power that we disliked. Actually, heart, it wasn't Mowgli.
Are you talking about Captain Planet?
Yeah, I'm talking about Planeteers.
I never watched that propaganda. I never watched it. I hated Captain Planet. I knew what they were trying to do. I'm very pro-environment, but I knew what they were trying to do.
I thought it was cool. I liked the character.
Also, now you have green
hair
just like Captain Planet.
That's me. I'm the new Captain Planet. I'm the same shape.
Well, Henry, how big? So I'm 6'7". And again, you know, you look at me sometimes and I can see you like a cartoon fox with your fork and your knife and your plate just getting ready to eat me.
No, I don't want to eat you. I know what you eat. I know what goes into your body.
I eat what food eats. According to Henry Zebrowski. I'm 6'5". The hand, you know the size of the hand in this Gundam robot?
How big?
6'5".
Cool.
So that means
you can cradle inside of it like a little puppy.
Yeah, but it's not going to be soft and warm like...
No, it's going to crush you to death.
Yeah.
That's what it should do. But I'm just saying...
I don't know.
If we come at it with heart... Right?
Yeah,
and understand.
But what does the robot doesn't have any heart? Okay, so
the pilots will.
John Narita, he's the head of design. He explains that special considerations about the types of materials and motors have been taken into account so it could weigh less. So the weight restriction is like a curse. That's what he had to say. So I do relate to the Gundam when it comes to the weight restrictions, and I think we need to stop
shaming
the Gundam robot. I agree with that.
Because it comes down to this Gundam's going to get body dysmorphia, and I'm going to say body dysmorphia is one of those things that you don't know you have it until all of a sudden you're looking in the mirror sucking in every day when you wake up. And how is this Gundam going to feel?
It's going to feel really bad. It's going to start hating humans. It's going to be like, you all called me so fat, and you said I was 25 tons of nothing, and look at me now.
Yeah, just
as he starts crushing everybody.
But that's why we have to be nice to it.
So anyway, this has taken the internet by storm. No one seems to be talking about it in mainstream media because they're complicit in the creation of a device that's going to end humanity as we know it. Also, why did they have to paint it the colors?
Because it's cool as hell.
This is where you become
a frumpy frumperton.
I'm not a frumpy frumperton.
You're being one because when it comes down to this is a celebration of science and the ability of us entering a sci-fi world that if we're going to be in one already, already in one dystopia.
Okay.
I want the giant 60-foot sentinels as well.
Can you tell me one sci-fi movie where things were better? Any sci-fi movie where you're like, you know what? That makes sense.
But this is what we've been talking about, is that the dour and dark versions of earlier sci-fi we've internalized it.
Uh-huh.
And as this generation, we have expressed it onto the world, where actually there should be more examples of nice sci-fi.
But there is not one. And this is the world that we're living in. That's the energy that this robot is going to be watching nonstop destruction of humans by robots.
You're going to be
at the hands of robots. We're going to make, next thing you know, this thing is wearing a MAGA hat.
If it gets political, that's when I get involved. I don't want it to be political, but I'm going to say you're going to thank your lucky stars when a triangle shaped thing called an angel arrives above our planet, and it sucks the pilot into the sea of his worst memories about how he was never good enough for his own father,
sure,
and how he was never, but at the same time, that causes the Gundam to go into a personal crisis because he is joined psychologically with his pilot, the two of them together. The goal is that Gundam, robot meets man in a way that is truly harmonious, is that if these outside agents, quote-unquote outside agents, arrive...
What happened to Lawnmower Man?
That's what it did, but again, it's because it stressed the system in a perfect... In another system, Lawnmower Man actually could have been really helpful deity but on the internet.
The whole point of the robot, I thought, was to eliminate the angst of being a human being, the curse that we all have been given
just
to be a person. I don't want this robot to feel. If all of a sudden it starts feeling, emotions are usually channeled into anger.
I will say that that is a short-sighted vision from a tall man. Said it comes down to these Gundams can learn. They go, the man and technology are supposed to merge.
Well, whatever. Let's move on.
Speaking of man and technology supposed to merge, it's a man who lost his penis to a blood infection has a new one built on his arm.
Now, this is the kind of biological engineering that we need in this country. This man has a penis for an arm, and that can only happen right here in 2020.
This is a British man, and at first, that's the reason why I want to say he looks so sad. Because he's got really big bags.
They've been beaten down by the queen.
But I think the reason why he's been so beaten down extra by the queen is that he had a blood infection. You know, his penis just fell right off.
It fell off. That is not even an exaggeration.
I don't like it.
This is what he had to say. He said, I had struggled for years with an infection in my perineum, which I think is a fancy way of saying cack.
Yeah, it's the hole inside of the cack.
Yeah, but I had no idea what could happen.
Yeah, of course you didn't have any fucking idea what would happen. If you did, you would have been like, let's pause this video.
Yeah.
And let's get to a doctor.
And maybe you could say this in a British accent so it'll sound nicer, but then he says, when I saw my penis go black.
Let me read this. Okay, I'll read this whole statement so you could see what it sounds like from his perspective. Just to understand what it's like to walk in his moccasins, okay? Oh, I had struggled for years with an infection in my perineum, but I had no idea what could happen. I saw my penis go black. I was beside myself. I was like a horror film. I was in a complete panic. I knew deep down it was gone. And I was going to lose it.
So he just looked in the mirror one day, saw his penis go black, and realized it was about to fall off. But your dick doesn't just start going black.
No, it starts in stages.
Right.
And so you watched it slowly turn black like a villain from the Neverending Story 2, where all imagination is gone in your perineum, and so it is slowly dying out from lack of imagination. The penis slowly becomes black. He watches it transform, and then it just goes plop.
Yep, he said he was completely gutted, and then he said, quote, he was completely gutted when his penis, quote, dropped off onto the floor, but his testicles remained intact, almost to taunt him.
Oh, yeah, just clinging on to each other like a family in the Holocaust hiding an attic.
I mean, being
like, and if they come for the top shaft, will they come for us?
They will come for the balls. Also, how did the balls survive?
They sold out the dick. That's what this is all about. So they sold out the dick.
Yeah, the Gestapo came
looking for this. But they have, on the New York Post, which I love.
The New York Post, again, this is where you get your New York Post news.
So the penis is attached to his arm. And now you would think, okay, we got this. This guy lost a penis. We're going to grow a new one attached to him. Which apparently he gained 2 inches. So that's reverse of the British curse.
Yes, indeed.
So he got this thing attached to him. You think that they'd think of a way to make this like not embarrassing, right? Or not like to call. I mean, he's got a dick growing on his arm, but they are kind of like, hey, let's try to judge this a little bit.
Sure.
Let's try to make this subtle. So
yes.
I think that they just joined it to his arm, but according to the New York Post, it has a blur of it just dangling from the bottom, from his elbow, like he is, he just looks like John Holmes at a naturist convention.
What if he gets it aroused? Can the dick get hard on his arm? If so, you don't need sex robots anymore.
Nope.
Ladies, dick arms.
Also, what a powerful new way to clothesline someone in a wrestling match.
That's a perfect way to do it.
Where you fucking throat him and it's like, it's called the fucking arm throat. And instead of doing, you remember the Great American Elbow? Was that what it was?
Lex Luger. He had the steel plate. I mean, he didn't, but that was the theory.
That was the idea. He had a steel plate, but he just had a elbow.
He just had an elbow.
But I remember thinking that it was true that he had a steel plate.
Well, we had to. We were told that.
Yes. And yeah. I was like, oh, they've never lied. Wrestling doesn't lie. It's all real. But then, now I understand. Imagine having that. And the guy comes through and then you could fucking choke him with your cock as he comes through. Like, make him gag.
I think that's absolutely wonderful. It's better than the mandible claw. Choke him out with your cock. The guy can't really complain because next thing you know, he's going to be seen as a problematic character. You just have to take it. You got to take it down your throat and you got to get the three count. So okay, this dude, so, yeah, but why did they, okay. My question here to you, Henry, is, you're talking about it on his arm. Why did they put it on the forearm?
I don't
which
know.
Which is, it's a very visible part of the arm.
You could put it, you should probably put it in a place where you could cover with a shirt. Yeah. That would really help. So what he says here, it's like, for 2 years after losing my penis, I felt a shadow of a man. My life literally fell apart because I had no self-confidence. I drank too much. I didn't see family and friends. I just didn't want to face up to it, which I get. Can you imagine you're just everywhere showing me like, how you doing, Doug? And he's just right. Like, still don't have a cock! Which has got to be a lot. You know
could
what
have
I mean?
Done without that,
but
sir.
He talked to a doctor. He talked to a doctor, okay. Professor David Ralph, who is what he calls himself the penis master. Now, the phallus expert, he said he created a bionic penis for Andrew Wardle, who was born without one. So, which to me, if you're born without one, that's a lot.
You just don't get
you
one.
You just don't get one.
No.
And so, according to McDonald, he's like, it gave me a glimmer of hope that I could go back to being a normal bloke. And so, fortunately, he received funding for the procedure because it would eventually allow him to urinate properly,
okay.
Not just perform sexually. So this was huge. He wanted to be able to fuck and piss.
Okay.
Which I get.
The reason he got the universal health insurance that they have over there in the UK is because of the pee. They didn't care that he couldn't fuck. They were like, but the guy can't piss.
Yes.
So we need to help this guy piss.
Which and is, then, I mean,
which is nice.
It's nice. But it definitely was a Trojan horse to get your cock back.
Yeah. Because I think the biggest problem here. We talked
about. You can't just say like, it's like an aesthetic thing.
No, they don't
care. Like, the whole thing is just the balls being there, so I just look like I'm selling berries.
If I was him, I'd just keep the dick on my arm because I think that's unique, it's fun, and you can show it off at parties. If you show your dick off at parties when it's on your crotch, that's a felony.
Yeah.
If you show your dick off when it's on your arm, I don't think that that's illegal at all. And now this is a whole other gray area of law. SideStoriesLPOTL@gmail.com. Yeah. What if he goes around just flapping around a kid's faces and he's being like, yeah, it's a dick, but it's on my arm?
Yeah, then he's a hero. And if not, he gets all those fucking comedy tours canceled.
Well,
but I would say if you
and that's the biggest and that's the biggest that's the biggest penalty of all, isn't it?
But this one quote that I really, really love was that when he finally got the funding, he said it was like every Christmas at once. And I was like, oh, yeah, I guess it would be.
Yeah, he said he was so emotional because he got a new start. Yes, indeed. Well, we talked about this in the last room on the left, too, where somebody had lost his penis. I forget how. I think it chopped off or something. He chopped it off or something like that.
Sure.
And it just seemed, now maybe it's because I never lost my penis.
Nope.
I just don't think about it that much, which might be a cliche. Might be a little bit of a stunner because, guys, yes, you do talk about your cock quite a bit. As you get older, you kind of stop because it stops working so much, so you don't have anything to brag about.
I don't think about the physical penis as much as I would think about sexual activity. But if I didn't have a physical penis, I'd be thinking a lot more about why is it not there.
Because every time you have a sexual thought, then you're like, oh, that's right, I also have a dinghy that doesn't exist. So what's the point of even having this thought? I guess it's like dreaming about food when, you know, you're in the middle of solitary confinement and you know you're not going to get anything but the
absolutely.
Loaf. Just stop thinking about it.
But I'm certain that we have audience members. I'm certain of it.
You're certain?
That we have audience members that lost a penis. And if you have...
How many people
have
lost a penis? Our audience isn't that large. I don't feel like... It has to be like, how many people have lost a penis?
I don't know.
Look
it up. Google it.
Quick Google.
Ask Jeeves.
I'm going to do an Ask Jeeves. Ask Jeeves. I can't believe Ask Jeeves is still around, but it is. It is, folks.
But if you lost your penis or you lost function of your penis, I want to say that there's still availabilities to you to have sexual encounters, and it's just like getting a finger up your beehole so you can feel the inner orgasm that women apparently love.
No, I understand that. I mean,
Women love the inner orgasm, but I don't know if a man can have the same orgasm without ejaculating.
I think it goes inside of your tummy and it ends up filling you up, and next thing you know, you die like the marshmallow man exploding everywhere.
We are not doctors, and we have no clue how anything about biology or gender or sex.
Let's see. Well, we have five celebrities who had horrible things happen to their penis.
Let's see. I want to hear at least
one. This is a men's health article.
Sure. So that's on lockdown.
Oh, well, Shannon Tatum, apparently, somebody poured some a mix of boiling water and river water down their pants. So
Channing
that was,
Tatum?
Yeah, Johnny Knoxville had something wrong with his.
Yeah, huge. Johnny Knoxville's done horrible things to his penis on purpose. He did it for comedy.
Yeah.
Channing Tatum is just whatever.
Oh, apparently, this Hugh Jackman went to take a piss. He forgot he had the Wolverine's 10-inch claws on. He cut himself in the process on his big old cock.
I think that was a cover-up for him just, like, blowing two guys inside of a tent.
A bear?
On set.
That's still up for debate. Ray Elby, he's an MMA fighter. He came out on YouTube describing his, he had a horrific penis injury.
All of these are during sex.
His girlfriend bounced a little too high.
Ah!
Can you imagine that? Having someone so excited to have sex with you, they bounce too high.
It's never been like that.
No, he fractured his penis bone. And then, of course, we have Andre Christbearer Johnson. He's a rapper. He's with Wu-Tang. Apparently, he was high on PCP. And he cut off his own penis.
That's a lot.
Yeah, so that wasn't good.
I mean, again, that's a decision that you made.
I actually remember that story. With
that,
that
is a decision that you made.
I remember that.
I don't know what to tell you about that.
Well, you imagine if you're high in PCP, all of a sudden you're looking at your cock, and your cock is just like, kill me, get rid of
me. Kill me, I'm
it's
the problem.
Weight.
But he's correct. The penis is always the problem.
It can be. All right, well, nonetheless, we'll see what happens with this guy. I'm assuming at some point his Johnson will be back, and it's...
Well, I want to see pictures of it. When it's reattached, I want to see fucking pictures of it. Because I want to see, make sure that the UK tax dollars are going to their full benefit. Tax pences?
Well, all I know is I understand them having to pay for the penis because of the piss problem.
Yeah.
But he did pay an extra $65,000 for those 2 inches. He paid extra money. So
I think they lowballed him.
Literally.
Honestly, that's a lot for that is less than I thought it would take to get 2 extra inches on your penis.
Hey man, I'll do it right now.
Because now I'm just tugging and tugging and tugging and tugging, and I think I'm making it smaller.
It's very possible, at the very least thinner. He said they were happy to listen regarding the doctors. He's like, they were happy to listen to what I wanted it to be like, which was amazing.
I want it to look like a smile.
Yes, indeed.
I want it to have an extra knob on the end so it could really get into a G-spot. And I also want it to contain within it $1,000.
If they panned down to Jared Leto's Joker and you just showed his cock with like a Joker smile.
Yeah. Why so serious?
That would have made the entire thing. He says not many people can say they have a designer penis. But now he can't he?
In the saddest way possible.
Isn't that
And now
fun?
He's going to... have to beg someone to look at it.
Yes, he will. So how'd they do it? They used a skin flap on his left arm.
Sure.
And so they created a urethra and installed two tubes inflated with the hand pump.
Science is huge. And Science is so big. So cruche. Right
it's
now.
Just amazing that human beings... I've actually come full circle already today. It's amazing that we can build death-causing 60-foot robots, but yet we can also build a penis on a man's arm. Isn't it all, it's one large quilt, isn't it?
It's all hail within God's quilt.
There's a story. Quickly, if you want to look up an interesting phone call, Lori Vallow Daybell, they're starting the hearings now. If you go and listen to it, Natalie gave me, she's like deep in this. She's deep in this whole
thing.
And she gave me a tip of looking at the East Idaho News YouTube channel. And they do a really good breakdown of all of the different hearings that are happening and evidentiary shit. And they do a cut of a 20-minute phone call of Lori Vallow's friend, her best friend, Melanie Gibb, who's been very open to talking about everything.
Huh.
Who knew? That these kids were dead, but didn't say anything because God basically was in there convincing her that Lori Vallow might actually be the chosen one. There was like a section there.
Her friend's a little kooky.
You say a little kooky. I say complicit to murder.
Oh, okay. See, this is why I'm not a prosecutor.
Once things got like heated, though, Melanie Gibb did a call into Lori Vallow and Chad Daybell for the police. She was wearing, they were recording the call. And basically, Melanie Gibb finally does the thing being like, I think that you might have something to do with JJ and Tylee being missed in the most like non-direct way. And Lori Vallow is like, no, you just need to understand our ways. Like, it's this very interesting call. But the interesting part of the call was the flip where finally Melanie Gibb is like, okay, I just don't agree with you on this issue.
On the murdering of your two children? Well, you don't agree with the issue?
Well, because Lori Vallow was building this inner story that she was being persecuted from the outside and people were trying to kill her. And so she had to hide her kids. So she said the reason why she didn't want to tell anybody where her kids were. Yes. But she said she didn't want to tell anybody where the kids were because she said then it would create a plausible deniability so that nobody could be forced to be burdened with the proof of where her kids were.
I will say this is the nicest thing that Lori has done. If you do kill two people, don't tell me. Tell me nothing.
Tell me
plausible
nothing.
Plausible deniability should be my middle name. Just I love that.
Don't tell me. I don't really. I mean, like, even though I want the Luciferian lamplight of all knowledge, I want to see it. At the same time, if we were like, if we are on a podcast network together, don't tell me.
Don't.
Until after, and then we'll do a whole episode.
If you're a listener and you've killed people, don't tell us.
Don't tell us unless
if you find
it's
an alien.
Really funny. And if it's an alien, then yes, tell us as well, of course. But at the same time, don't. Unless you got, I need some proof. I need some pictures. Unfortunately, I think that I also think that the need for empirical evidence is really getting overblown, but we'll get into this.
What are you talking
about? It's a long story. I've had an inner experience.
You just dyed your hair and you've been microdosing mushrooms.
Yes. It's inside, not outside. But Melanie Gibb finally, at some point, was like, I'm going to have to put my foot down on you're going to have to tell me where JJ and Tylee is. And Lori Vallow, who's just been like, girl, what's going on, girl? Like, she says all this stuff when she calls up, being like, what's up? You know, and finally she's like, I think that you've become in league with the devil. And I feel like maybe your soul is being overtaken by the forces of evil as well. And so you see the Sauron eye just turn.
So if Lori was free, Miss Gibbs is on the chopping block. Yeah.
She would be fucking on the pile.
So we found out a couple of new sad details, as I mentioned earlier. 7-year-old Joshua JJ, a.k.a. JJ Value, Vallow, he was dressed in red pajamas, placed inside a black plastic bag. Several layers of duct tape also secured a white plastic bag around the boy's head. Oh, my goodness. They threw this child out like produce. And that's the strange thing about this story. It's like the characters that are still alive are so insane and so over the top. I can't believe this is happening in Idaho. This is the most, I don't want to say the word exciting, but intriguing story to come out of Idaho ever.
You look at the history of the Mormon Church and the history of the fringe world of the Mormon Church, and you realize this shit's happened so many times. There's just so many of these. There's actually a lot of weird stories in that part of the world that kind of get swept under the rug because we don't really see them. And a lot of it, you can kind of see the basis for why, for a hot second, Melanie Gibb thought Lori Vallow was legit because of how much they talk about, like, testifying and people prophesying and getting visions and seeing all this stuff within this world. And you've been taught that this shit is actual, concretely, objectively real for so long that at some point, isn't your brain kind of massaged and it has been trained to view these things as like, well, maybe the revelation has come and maybe this is real for a hot second.
Hey, man, absolutely. My parents used to say, no need to go to school. You never know when Jesus is coming back. He hasn't come back yet, but you know what? I actually thought that was very nice of them. I love sleeping in to this day.
To this day.
To this day. Almost to a massive career detriment. But when it comes to Lori Vallow, I see that because a lot of people who are more susceptible to religious belief are also susceptible to conspiracy thought.
Yes.
This sort of has the perfect little combo. You also, can you imagine if Lori was correct and then you're like, and she's my friend?
Oh, dear.
Hell yes.
Hell yeah, bro.
This is awesome. So I get it. If you're Miss Gibbs, it's like, it's a fuck of a lot more exciting than just being in Idaho.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it spices up the life. It's why other people get into meth. She got into becoming a new Jesus.
She definitely did, which I think is more dangerous in many ways than meth. And of course, those are not mutually exclusive. A lot of people who get into meth also become new Jesus. Why isn't Chad talking?
Chad is the quiet one. Chad was the brains and the skeleton. Also, Chad, very similar to Joseph Smith, which Nat and I were talking about this last night. Chad Daybell has a way about him that he's the humblest of the humble.
Oh,
and the real
yes.
Joseph Smith's with a hat in hand just been like, well, I'm just a simple man. Only know simple things about the arcane. I just know rocks need trees. Trees need God. And like this kind of weird shit where he just says that stuff. And Lori Vallow is kind of the fire. Lori Vallow is because what we talked about on the episode last time, she's a South Dakota 27.
Oh, you know what I mean? Absolutely. Of course.
If you want to see some good old fashioned, here's some more drama. If you want to see more good old fashioned high school drama, but taking place in the world of paranormal, go to the Ghost Adventures Crew Facebook page and see Zach Baggins talk major shit on the owner of Annabelle.
All right.
The owner of Annabelle, where he got into a long argument about how, number one, they had to pay for first class tickets for them to come and investigate Annabelle.
Let's set this story up for a second. All right. So that's Lori Vallow. We will keep you updated as that story continues. So Zach Baggins, of course, you know him from Ghost Adventures, Ghost Hunters. He screams at a lot of ghosts. Not a bad guy, from my understanding.
Love Zach, and we love his show. I mean, I'm endlessly entertained by his show.
Annabelle, obviously, you all know this massive movie franchise.
Based off a real doll, and the stories of Ed and Anne, Lorraine Warren. They had investigated Annabelle. The demon was attached to this doll.
So,
it was put in a case, right? Like just like in the movie. This is real in the Warren Museum.
Raggedy Ann doll, though.
It's Annabelle. I don't know. I'm just as puzzled as you are.
Okay. All
right. But they put it in a case, right? Which says, under no conditions, you're supposed to open up this case.
Okay. This is the Warrens did that.
The Warrens did that.
Okay.
It's in, and it's been there forever. But Tony Spiro, I guess, purchased Annabelle inside of this case. And so, while they were saying that you can't even open this case.
And that's the dude who created the movie franchise.
I don't know. I think that's Jason Blum. I think that's like more Blumhouse. They actually made the movies.
Okay.
No, Tony Spiro just owns the doll.
He just bought this creepy doll.
Yes. He owns the doll Annabelle.
So he was trying to court like a 14-year-old goth chick, and he was like, I think I know the exact thing to get.
I know what to do because I heard this demon inside Annabelle's really good at fingering.
Oh, my.
So this is, I just love this story just because it's really fun, because they got really, really upset because Tony Spiro had claimed that Annabelle, being purely evil and demonic, it had the power to cause a man's fatal motorcycle accident just for talking to her from outside her protected case, right? So Tony Spiro's like, this is an incredibly dangerous object, and there can only be done a certain way. So
somebody who rides motorcycles, I would assume almost every day, went to go speak to Annabelle.
Yes.
And then that person died in a motorcycle accident. Is it possible that that person was drunk? Is it possible that person was just driving too fast?
No way.
No way. Okay.
There's literally no way that a hammered man went up to Annabelle and all knocking there. So you're gonna fucking kill me? Think you're better than me? You think you can kill me? I'm a grown man. I'm a grown man. And then I was like, I'm getting on my motorcycle. I'm getting out of this haunted, lame ass fucking shit.
That is my scene in any horror movie I ever get cast in.
Yes.
Like midnight, just be like, I'm throwing peanuts at you now.
Yeah, what are you doing
now?
What
you doing
now? You fucking better than me?
So he said, you can't move this doll. But to go investigate it, what he did was he took it out of the case with oven mitts, put it into a briefcase.
Okay, so the supernatural.
Stopped by oven mitts. It
stopped by oven mitts.
You're not supposed to touch
it. So the same thing that, like, brownies, like anything, like cookies and Annabelle, you just handle them with oven mitts.
But isn't heat just highly vibrating ghosts?
I just like brownies.
It's
the only thing I know.
And he got Annabelle, put it in a briefcase. He then made Zach Baggins buy him first class tickets for him and Annabelle to sit in a chair.
If I was on a plane and I found out I couldn't get my first class ticket, which I'd like to get at a discount, just so freaking big, it's very hard for me to sit. I would tear that doll apart and the entire mythos would be destroyed because everyone would just see it's just a fluffy little fake Annabelle frickin' Raggedy Ann doll, until, of course, he pulls out another Raggedy Ann doll from his back pocket, just like the guy who sold you the Sasquatch foot, and was like, this is the last one, as you were walking away, pulled out another one, because I think there's plenty more fake things out there.
I paid for the experience of being sold to. That's how
you're the greatest scam customer ever. With any luck, you'll love it for the experience.
This is just fun. But so
I feel when I go to the casino and they just like take all my money. I'm like, thank you.
That
was great.
But we talked about this right before we were recording. I would have a hard time getting on a plane where Annabelle was just sitting in a seat, even though I don't particularly believe in the powers of Annabelle.
I wouldn't do it.
I would have a hard time knowing that Annabelle was like, I would be like, is this like a high power, like one of those, like when they transport criminals?
It's
like Con Air, but ghosts.
Yeah.
It's a great movie idea.
Honestly, it's an amazing movie idea. I just watched the documentary on Danny Trejo. I love those Con Air scenes he was in. Danny Trejo, a real icon when it comes to what you can be if you put your mind to it.
He's 5'1".
No kidding. Annabelle, if I found out that she was on my plane, I would have to go full Karen. I would demand to see the manager. I would say I want a discount.
Get
I can't believe you would even think about that.
I didn't bring my sage.
Right.
I'm sitting here with no protective mirror to bounce the demonic energy away from me. I need to be prepped. I need to have fasted.
Yes.
No, because normally I'm crammed with food as soon as I get there.
We are known for our airport abilities.
I miss airports. Is that weird to say that? I miss airports?
No, I was thinking about the Denver airport the other day.
And how fun that was?
Yeah, so much fun.
Remember then we were stuck in Chicago O'Hare and we had all those fun? We did that little
pub
tour of the Chicago O'Hare airport because we missed our plane.
And then the next day I took a shit that Dan Fogler, an amazing performer, he had to walk into the bathroom after I did that. And he was devastated and it was death.
But this is, there's more story here. But basically, Zach Bagans was feeling sick just being around Annabelle. Okay. He didn't know it wasn't supposed to be moved from the thing. Then he thinks that Annabelle forced him to psychologically touch her foot because he said he got an EVP, recording while they were in the room of thing going, touch foot, grab
foot. So then he had to do it?
Yes.
Zach, I love you, but you don't have to listen to every single demented doll that tells you to do something.
That's how we got to this level.
I know.
So the same, he's not going to follow his ghost gut.
No, you do have to do it. That's what. That's where the bread is buttered. That's where the quality programming is made.
Also, so that's it on Ghost T.
That's
all I got on Ghost T is that. We're going to see how this plays out. We're going to see if Tony Sparrow responds.
So this is an online fight that's going on?
Oh, yeah. This is all Facebook.
And so Annabelle is just in a tug of war right now between two ghost hunters. Do you feel like Annabelle is more annoyed with humans than we are scared of her?
If we could read Annabelle's diary right now, it would be eviscerating.
Yes,
she would be
horrible.
Like, all of these men are telling me what to do with my body.
They're kind of treating her like JonBenet.
I mean,
stop putting this kid in the show.
Holy
Let the kid grow up.
That is really true. This is sad. Annabelle's become a little honey boo-boo. Annabelle's going to get molested.
I think that, didn't everyone from that show get accused of molesting everybody?
Everybody was molesting everybody. It was like, it was not safe to be under 4 feet tall in that house.
No, definitely not. Very sad. No. And Annabelle's, 6 inches tall?
Yep,
so,
and then fucking Warwick Davis just went over that one time, and they just were all sucking his dick.
Oh, my.
But they thought he was a boy until he came, and they were like, oh, this is a man's cum.
Well, absolutely. Warwick Davis, of course, the greatest... One of the greatest character actors in the history of film.
Leprechaun... is a unsung hero. Leprechaun is one of my favorite movie franchises ever.
And one of my favorite leprechauns is Leprechaun in Las Vegas because he just does a bunch of fun stuff and he bites somebody's toe off.
It's the funniest. I love all of the Leprechaun films.
And we forget that the very famous actress, Jennifer Aniston, was in the first Leprechaun. That was her big break.
And then they put her on the cover of the movie after it and she tried to get herself cut out for so long. But you know what I will also say? If you're looking for movies right now, you know what I did? We did a back-to-back of Unfriended. Unfriended is really creepy.
Oh, I've watched that one.
I love Unfriended.
That was the one, it was all done with a computer screen, right?
Yes.
They did a great job.
I'm a found footage person. Natalie and I are found footage people. I love it. You know what was really fucking good? Was Host on Shudder.
Oh, I'll check that out.
Host on Shudder was genuinely scary. It's only an hour long. And, I mean, honestly, it's like... The term horror movie set on Zoom makes me want to set my fucking house on fire.
I hate the word Zoom. I never want to hear it after this.
No.
I'm done with Zoom. By the way, if you're investing right now in Zoom, this is not CNBC, but get out early next year. All right. Well, there we go. That's what's going on with Annabelle. And I really hope that these two, I'm going to call them nerds. I hope that they don't fight because let's be honest, as far as nerds go, Zach Bagans.
Oh, he'll fucking rip him apart.
He'll rip him apart.
Zach Bagans is jacked.
Yes, he is. He's
very
huge.
And I want to briefly address to how many times I was sent this story of a man who was quote unquote not handling the pandemic well.
Ah, yes.
His name is Adam Zaborowski. And I had many people that were all like,
is it your cousin?
Well, it's very possible.
Is this your cousin?
It's possible if you think about the similarities between the names.
This is Polish racism. But he went and apparently he has been he's really been very upset. He went to a cigar shop, Adam Zaborowski. He was told to wear a mask inside of the cigar shop, which is ironic.
Yes.
And then the 35-year-old, he angrily refused. Instead, he grabbed two stogies, stormed outside, and then he pulled in a handgun, came in, and he shot at the clerk. So he didn't even shoot at the clerk. He didn't shoot the clerk.
Right.
But he shot at the clerk. And the only way to describe it is that his eyeballs are so close together, it looks like they're about to kiss. If you see his mugshot, his eyeballs look like Jim and Pam from fucking The Office.
Yes. Okay. I have a shot of this guy now. Absolutely. Doesn't look like your traditional cigar shop guy. Never understood the point of a cigar shop. I went to one in Brooklyn and I was halfway through the cigar and I got really nauseous.
Me too.
But you can't.
This is not Arnold Schwarzenegger, like no. Lisa Rinner cigar shop. Like, this is not a fancy one.
No.
He called it a cigar shop because it said cigars on it, but it's where you go to get trucker porn and rolling papers.
Well, that's the whole point of a cigar shop.
Yep.
So he fired two rounds in the air and one round at the shop clerk. This is in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania.
What up?
Now, authorities, obviously, they were like, well, we better go address this. And he wasn't too happy with that.
No. Nope.
So it led to we're going to call a bit of a scuffle with law enforcement involving an AK-47. So this guy really, he was taking the, he was like, I got a constitutional right not to wear a mask, which isn't necessarily true. But apparently he did feel vindicated constitutionally to shoot at a bunch of people, including cops, and including a poor person who works at a goddamn cigar shop.
Everybody who's just trying to live a normal life.
Right.
Not related to me. He's not remotely related to me. He's not a Zabrowski. He's a Zadorowski. I don't know who the fuck these people are. I don't know who those fucking people are.
Well,
he's not a Zabrowski. So I can't speak to his inner mind, but I will say he did get instead of wearing a mask and buying cigars and having a normal day, he got the fun, like, second place prize of getting shot by the police.
Yeah, that is really fun.
Because he got shot in the buttocks and the leg by the fucking cops.
So that
for
means
being an asshole. And that's what you got. Play stupid games, get stupid prizes.
Well, now he was going through quite a bit of drama. This is according
to upset.
I know.
You're not. I'm upset too.
Buddy, I understand.
I got my hair green.
I know what you're up to. John Waldron revealed that Zabrowski lost his job.
Stop saying Zabrowski.
It is Zabrowski.
Zabrowski.
Okay, it's Zabrowski. This is the most Polish I have ever had to be. Zabrowski.
Thank
and
you.
What a different name it is than Zabrowski.
It is different. Different lineages, because he probably comes from fucking rag people, and I come from technically a duke.
Yes, of course. D-O-O-K.
Oh, you.
Zabrowski.
You are just the best comedian on that side of this table.
So he was, according to John Waldron, who we have to take his word for because he's being quoted. He says he just wasn't dealing with the loss of his job, the loss of his child, just not handling the pandemic well. So he had a threefer. Lost a job, lost a child, plus a pandemic.
I'm not saying that he wasn't upset, not for a reason.
No, I know.
I'm just saying, didn't you just want to go to the cigar shop? In the end, didn't you just want what you wanted from the cigar shop?
I would give him more credit if he had the cigar in his mouth the entire time that he was in a shootout with the cops. I think there's something cinematic about that.
That's fun, yes.
So according again to this fellow that they're quoting for, I don't even know why, Waldron, he says, I know his dad, I know his mom, and I know Adam. For what I hear with all of these allegations, this is not his typical behavior. So he didn't usually go and have shootouts with the police after going into a cigar shop and getting yelled at for not wearing a mask. That wasn't normal for him. So we do have to tell the judge that. Like, this is
I think it's important.
This is a bloop.
It's a bloop.
This is
a little bloop, but what are you going to do? But yeah, he got a couple of shots. Maybe now he'll cool out inside of the jail cell, and then he'll probably get COVID in jail.
He definitely will.
And then we'll see what happens to him.
Yeah. Well, either way, he did. He also stole the cigars, which we should talk about.
That really makes me upset. That was the first crime. It makes me upset.
Yeah.
We did a little bit. I'm not going to quickly say this one thing. Apparently, bestiality is legal in Wyoming. So good for you guys.
Is it legal in Wyoming or is it just not illegal?
Yeah, it's like promoted.
That's what I'm saying. Why
come fuck a horse in Wyoming?
Hey, they got to get the stoners in Colorado over there somehow.
That's
and
true.
You know someone can just take the right amount of edibles and really think a horse's butt is perfect.
Well, the pussy does look weirdly similar to a human pussy.
I don't even want to know how you know that.
We're look
not going to. I'm not going to look it up. But why are we talking about Wyoming and bestiality? Was there a story?
There's an article. They're trying to figure out how to make it illegal.
You just write it. You just scrap something. You Sharpie something out, or you Sharpie something in.
There's some people holding out saying, hey, what if we fall in love with the chicken?
So there's advocates.
Advocates for everything. These are the lobbyists. The horse fucker lobbyists are huge in Wyoming.
So someone is like looking at their dog being like, hey, Brindy, you know, if this law passes, they're going to take you away from me. So you better go down to the courthouse.
It makes our love illegal. And then the dog goes, please stop raping me.
If the dog could talk. So anyway, Wyoming, you probably want to get on that.
Yeah,
that would be the best idea.
Get on that.
You're going to just want to do a little change-a-roo.
Just a little bit. There's a Ghislaine Maxwell is not begun fully speaking yet, but she is basically named Prince Andrew and is named Bill Richardson and a hotel chain owner. I don't know what that means.
The dude who owns all of the guy who is actually in trouble already, the guy who owns the casinos.
Richard Grimmelton.
Richard Grimmelton.
Dr. Connie Suck-a-Kid.
No, not Connie Suck-a-Kid. I actually think he is in jail for having sex with a horse.
Wow.
Well, whatever Ghislaine is going to be saying, she will be screaming it to whoever will listen fairly soon. The nice thing about all of this disgusting stuff is Prince Andrew, the heat is being turned on.
But thankfully, he medically cannot sweat.
That's what he said?
That's what he said. His whole thing is that he can't. He's innocent.
He's sweating right now.
He said that's how he's innocent because the was VG, the girl that has been coming on saying everything, she basically said he was on top of me, and I remember his sweat, and he was sweating and heaving on me, and he's like, that's impossible then because I cannot sweat.
And if you watch that interview, you can visibly see him lying through his bizarre British teeth.
No, that's just me glistening.
Yes, indeed.
I was wetted with a misstep.
Prince Andrew, no matter the royalty that is in his blood, which really just probably makes him inbred in many, many ways.
Get him.
Shaking in his weird little boots right now.
Get him, man.
Ghislaine Maxwell is going to start naming a bunch of names. And we'll see what happens. Obviously, it's so weird to see all of these stories that we've been talking about for 30 years trend on Twitter, like Bill Clinton is a pedo. And it's like, everyone knows all of this stuff.
Yeah.
But I guess that's the one thing with Ghislaine Maxwell. She's going to be telling us a lot of what we do already know. But at the same time,
it's kind of on purpose. It's the other side where it's like, it's all of this stuff that's already quote unquote known. It's kind of what happened.
When does it become so mainstream that we just don't do anything?
That's Travis what we and I talk very about successfully
this.
Have done that.
Yeah, Travis and I talk about this on Abelian's Top Hat regarding, like, you know, the Breonna Taylor stuff, and obviously we need justice for Breonna Taylor, but at some point it becomes so
loud. It's because
loud.
The reason why those police officers have not been arrested is because they technically did not commit a fucking crime.
That's the problem.
Their shit is because they deleted the crime part of it from their report. They didn't report on themselves committing a crime, and so they didn't. Then the crime doesn't exist.
Interesting how that works.
I wonder if the last 4 years have done, I wonder if it's done permanent damage to our idea of what is a breaking story or if it will revert back to normal. I don't know. Because right now we're in the middle of.
I don't know if anything goes back to normal.
I
don't even know what that means anymore.
Well, I think when you
You've got green hair.
I've got green hair. I mean, it's going to have to go back. I mean, once auditioning just really picks up again,
First of all, you do have a lush amount of hair, but this you did put it through a challenge.
Dying
your hair is very difficult.
No, this is a gauntlet.
It's hard for the follicles.
I spoke with the ones in front. I spoke with the hairs in front, and I said, like, listen, this is going to be big. This is going to be a big movement. I don't know if everybody's going to be making it through this, right? I did like a D-Day talk, and the one in the very front, they all knew that they were the first out of the boat.
Yeah, yeah.
And if they get shot, then they're heroes. And they are heroes, and they've sacrificed themselves for the body politic interests of Henry Zebrowski, and that's their job is to sacrifice them. I'm the leader. The brain's the president. They're my infantry. My hands are my guns. My feet are my boats. My belly is the mess hall.
Well, I agree, and your body is Vietnam. I think that is wonderful, and I'm happy that your hair is going to stay strong. So we'll see what happens with Ghislaine. We'll keep on following that. And again, every source that we have is also gone through about 18 different channels. So who knows what she's actually saying?
I have no fucking clue. And you've seen the redacted documents that they made the list, and then they fucked it up so that you can copy and paste it onto just Word and just get all of it?
That's incredible.
But is it done? done on purpose. Then there's the other conspiracy thought. Are they doing it so then she can get fucking a mistrial because all of this shit comes out and then she just walks free again. And we just, we let her out of the cage.
That is the problem. We will see what happens. And yeah, Bill Richardson, huh? Okay.
He's
never,
loving it.
You never know what's happening. Oh,
it's,
is he?
It's
he
boring in New Mexico.
Yeah, well, I've heard it's a lot of fun if you there's like aliens. To do drugs. Yes, absolutely. And of course, Alan Dershowitz, if you want to watch, this is a little bit more top heady, but if you want to watch somebody try to justify being a pedophile, Alan Dershowitz has been doing this shit since the 90s.
He's like a vintage at it. It's like he had that op-ed ready to go. Like he knew when she was going to get arrested, he was going to drop this op-ed.
He also had an op-ed in the mid-90s being like, why can't I fuck a 16-year-old? They can get abortions. That was his
He's great. What a classic guy. And handsome.
Oh, just by a lawyer's... He's a lawyer 11. All right, well, let's do Hero of the Week. In honor of the NBA restart and in honor of my new LeBron James shoes.
They're nice.
LeBron James is this week's Hero of the Week because he is committed to helping felons pay off their debt to society in Florida, allowing them to vote. In 2018, there was an act that was passed, the Florida Rights Restoration Coalition, an organization that helped push a 2018 ballot measure that restored the rights of felons to vote. However, there was a small caveat, which is you have to pay back every single legal fee that you have to the state of Florida. For those that don't know, you basically pay for your own trial. These people don't exactly come out with any money whatsoever. So really, it was a modern day poll tax. It was just another way to exclude felons from being able to vote. Of course, we're not going to get criminal justice reform if the people who are most brutalized by the criminal justice system can't vote. So LeBron James and people in the Florida Rights Restoration Coalition, you are this week's Hero of the Week, doing good. Helping to get this democracy where it should be, which is a democracy for all, not just a few. Not so there you go, King James.
That's huge. Good work.
Good work to Mr. James.
Yeah, I'll do it too. I'll fix it.
We can fix it. We can donate to this.
I'm not to fix people.
If you have any cash, donate to Florida Rights Restoration Coalition, or we can trust that LeBron James, you know, he's gonna help. He's gonna help take care of it.
All right, here comes a story. This is a listener story that comes out of this is just more information that I thought was interesting.
Okay.
The Slenderman episode reminded our listener of an unnerving conversation that they had with their 6-year-old son. For context, I would say our 6-year-old has a healthy interest in mythical and magical Harry Potter level creatures and monsters, mostly dragons, werewolves, zombies. So it's not unusual for him to want to discuss them with us. It's also pretty usual for us on drives longer than half an hour to play simple guessing games such as what's my favorite animal, which is nice, which is what I'll do with myself.
Absolutely. What is your favorite animal?
Spider.
Okay, that's an insect. Does it count? I don't know.
Does it?
I actually don't know. There's a lot of spiders here in LA, though, which we're not going to talk about this, but I did see 3 in my house. I don't know what to do with them.
You have to live with them.
Yeah, you do.
No, they do, and they protect you. They take care of the stuff. They eat the bad insects.
That's what I said to myself.
Yep, I crawl, let them crawl around. Natalie hates it, but I love them.
They're kind of cute.
So a few weeks ago, we were driving back from my parents, talking and playing as we do, and our son asks us if we know about, quote-unquote, Siren Head. We both are a bit confused, and we've never heard of this creature. Considering that he's learning to read, we wonder if it's a character from a book and he's mispronouncing the name. No. So we ask him if it's a character from TV, which would be unusual because unfortunately we're very familiar with every stupid kid's character, so we know everything.
You have to be.
Yeah. She said no. So we clarified, is it indeed the Siren Head? And we ask where he had heard the name, and he tells us some boys at school said that they knew Siren Head personally. Okay. Siren Head is this new weird creature on the internet that's very scary.
It's called like
Lamphead is another version of it. It's a very similar to a Slenderman type, or I'll even go as far to say a S-man of a certain Italian descent that we're not mentioning as much anymore.
We're not going to say the name.
We can't say the name because
I get Scungeely Man.
I wish that you would stop.
This is why I'm going to die in the horror movie, because I'll be like, yes, Scungeely Man.
You think I'm scared of an Italian? I'm just saying that I'm trying to keep this at bay. This is not about the memification of Scungeely. This is not about the... I'm going to say... I almost said his name. It's not the memification of him, which I think is one thing. That's something else besides it. I don't know if there's
memification? More... Memification? Is that you being an expert?
Yeah, that's how they always change it. They always change the actual pronunciations of words.
Or if it's just something, but S-Man, the S-Man.
Okay.
Is, and it's not that I'm shutting it down because I want people to not talk about it. I'm just saying it's something that's becoming truly scary to me as a person.
I know.
Because I don't know.
You haven't been able to eat. God knows you haven't been able to drink whiskey or smoke weed. You've been so scared.
It's the opposite.
Yeah, it's the opposite.
It's actually, I've doubled up because of how scared I am, which is true. But I want to know, I just was listening to this, wondering if anybody else that was parents of children that have heard of Siren Head. I want to know if anybody else had heard of this, if this was like a new thing that kids were into.
I love it. Henry, do you mind if I have a small listener email about chihuahuas?
Oh, this story is sad.
So this is this comes in here from PP Haircrafter, which I can only imagine is something that is sexual and interesting in nature. He's talking about how I'm fostering Jerry. He's a little chiweenie. And he was talking about how he adopted a dog and his name was Lump, which is the cutest name for a chihuahua
I love Lump.
So he was chilling out with his buddy, and she was like, maybe it's his wife, whatever. And or her wife. Okay. So they were talking, and they were like, I wonder what the history of the chihuahua is. So this is what they say in the email. The earliest traces of chihuahuas date back to the Mayan Empire. The dogs were used mainly as food, but also as sacrifice to the gods.
Yes, they're fucking set.
But they're tiny.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
It's not a lot of meat.
Not a lot of meat. So the dogs were food, sacrifices, sometimes a blood sacrifice. Sometimes they would set living dogs on fire as an effigy. You can imagine a chihuahua on fire. I get why that would be entertaining for someone in the Mayan culture. Obviously very sad, but they would be mad as hell.
They would love that story in the beginning of it. But this is why they maybe are. They have the collective unconscious memory, and that's why they shake all the time and they're scared.
And that's why they'll mess you up too. They were said to have healing capabilities and were maybe the first version of, quote, a hot water bottle, which means they would just put chihuahuas on their head or their tummy if you were having cramps. Chihuahuas had a very similar fate with the Aztecs as well. Second verse, same as the first. That is the long fucking frame. Eventually someone was like, could we not light them on fire and just snuggle them? Eventually still, maybe at this point, our chihuahuas feel the need to be living hot water bottles that'll just set up shop on us, because hopefully that means we won't A, set them on fire, B, eat them, C, slice their throats for the gods, or D, all of the above, hail Lump. So there you go. The chihuahua has been through a lot, so leave the chihuahua alone.
That's so cute. That's why Wendy just shakes and wants to be cuddled.
Absolutely. Human water bottles. Never even thought about that.
Wow.
But very good.
Also, got an email about the non-deer of Llano, Texas, where people are saying, they're saying one thing it could be attributed to was exotic hunts in the area where people go and get, I remember driving through Texas and seeing a field of zebras, and apparently you could go and people bring things like these weird, crazy animals, like all these like weird, like the scimitar horned onyx or oryx, the fallow deer, red stags. They would bring these foreign type deers, and so you can go hunt new animals. So maybe it could be a release of something like that, especially if it's chronic wasting.
How many animals do you have to kill before you're like, I need a new animal to kill?
Whatever takes you to forget that you are impotent.
I'm trying not to eat pigs.
Well, dude, go ahead, man, but they are already dead.
Well, not the ones that are alive.
You're right, but I'm not personally killing a pig. The one I'm eating have already been killed.
And maybe milked, depending on where you get it from. Steve's pig milking farm.
Sure, it's good. I'm going to save these other cool letters for next week because we've already been yapping for a long ass time.
All right. Well, watch out for the 60-foot robot, folks. It's all happening.
You're going to see it.
I'm leading the resistance. I have always had this fantasy of being John Connor. I am leading the resistance against the robots. I don't know how far we're going to get.
I don't know.
Maybe I'm not the leader we need, but maybe I'm the leader we deserve.
Well, you definitely could be the guy that dies first and people are inspired by.
Isn't that the plight of all great leaders?
Yes. No.
All right, everyone. Well, thank you so much for listening. Hope you're doing all right out there.
Live every day knowing that you could just dye your hair. I didn't know that you could do this.
Yeah, you can.
People do this all the time, and it's kind of fun. It gives you but I keep getting scared when I look in the mirror. Like, what's happened to me?
You've changed. You should have dyed your mustache.
I was afraid.
Yeah.
Because I was afraid it would burn. I didn't want to burn my lip. Laugh.
Yeah.
You gotta laugh. I gotta find something to laugh at. You know what? I don't watch a lot of comedies, but I'm loving that Schitt's Creek.
Schitt's Creek, very
it's,
good show.
It's what I watch in between all the horrible other things that I watch. Absolutely. It helps slide it in. It's a nice little, it's a nice like a sorbet.
It's very funny.
It's very fun. Catherine O'Hara is the funniest human beings ever.
Yes,
lived.
She is. Eugene Levy, the whole crew.
And
the
you gotta,
whole crew.
You got to love somebody, even if you have to build your own lover. I mean, let's say you're alone in this pandemic. Let's say you're 6'7", big, you're just big, and it's hard to love all of you. You
know I mean? Have two dogs.
I'm just saying it's hard to love all of you, but maybe you need to build something that can be there, you know, and you can put lumps on it, then make it look like the breasts you want.
No, I already
like.
Have a little lump. I got my little Jerry. I mean, you can't.
You're not having sex with it.
No, you can't have sex with it.
No, it sucks.
I mean, no, it's just it's a cute dog that you cuddle him, you play with him.
Yeah, and if you're having sex with him, that ruins the vibe.
Yeah, it wouldn't be good for anyone.
No. The dog would all be just distrustful of you, and then
it would be dead,
there.
Henry. It's a chihuahua.
You think he'd pull out all his guts?
I'm not talking about this.
I don't know. Well, that's it.
That's your triple L for the day, for the week? You're going to make that triple L?
Just making things complicated. I'm skater boy.
I know what you are,
all the girls
are,
look around here. You know what I mean? They got their little, they're A shirts, I think they're called now. They're wearing their ties.
I don't know
what people wear anymore. I don't know what kids wear.
Clothes, hopefully, yeah. 100 out of 100 times. All right, everyone. Thank you for listening. Hope you're doing okay out there. Hail yourselves.
Hail Satan.
Magustalations, everyone.
Hail me. Buy some merch.
Buy some merch. Fight the robot. That should be the merch. Should you make sure that say fight the robots?
Fight the robots.
Well, you wait until I get drunk later and I start talking about robots.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors. You can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.